Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I've got the honor of being joined by Zach Weisfeld, who is the general manager of Microsoft's Global Accelerators. Zach, thanks for joining us.
Sure, happy to.
So, Zach, can you give us a brief introduction to yourself in that first, please, and your role within Microsoft?
Sure. So, as you said, my name is Zach Weisfeld. I run Microsoft Accelerators globally. I'm also the founder of what we used to call Microsoft Ventures at the beginning, and now we call Microsoft Accelerators. I've been an entrepreneur most of my life, so 20-somewhat years of starting different startups. I've been also a corporate entrepreneur. This is my third time at Microsoft. When I tend to start things, and when it gets too boring or not interesting anymore, we'll go and do other things. I spent about 8 years in the Valley, in Silicon Valley, and still a founder of a Sequoia-backed startup, and came back to Microsoft about 6 years ago with the purpose of helping reconnect Microsoft in a stronger way to this new breed of entrepreneurs that you see now around the world, in the U.S., across Europe, across Middle East and Asia. We call now unicorns. Unfortunately, there are some unicorps as well, but at the time we didn't have a name for those. But we knew that there's a new set of these great companies that are growing very fast, and we knew we needed a way to connect in a better way.
So can you give us an introduction then to how the Microsoft Accelerator works? Because I know you've been doing it for some time, and I've been really inspired by seeing what you do. So if you give us a cut, how that works, where you're located, etc.
Sure. So we just celebrated 4 years to the program. We started on April 22nd, 2012, with the first accelerator out of Tel Aviv. And the accelerator has started under the pure, what we call a pure accelerator model, a four-month cohort-based program, very strong curriculum, a mentor-heavy program. We get applications. We accept about 2% of the people that apply, and then they join us for a four-month program, and there's a demo day at the end. We have seven of those around the world: Bangalore, Beijing, Berlin, London, Paris, Seattle, Tel Aviv. We also have a joint venture in São Paulo. We've so far had 500 startups that graduated through the program. They raised totally of about almost $2 billion, $1.8 billion. Our average follow-on funding per startup is about $4.8 million. We have 31 exits through acquisitions and 3 through IPOs. So program has been doing pretty well. And the interesting thing that we started doing lately is we started moving our program from early stage, which was pre-seed, seed startups, where most of the accelerators are at, to a bit of a later stage. So more through Series A, or what we call market-ready startups, where most of our programs are now at. And this is where we believe that corporates and us specifically could actually give much more value to these startups.
Okay, great. And you mentioned earlier that the Microsoft Ventures, the funding sort of side and that, how are you related to that now? How are things going to be changing in the structures?
Yeah, so we've announced lately that we started the Microsoft Ventures Fund. We used to have a small seed fund as part of what the work that my team has been doing, and now we have a real full Microsoft Venture Fund that Nagraj Kashyap is leading, and we're very happy because now if you look through our startup support, we support now startups from very early stage through our BizPark programs, a bit later through our accelerators work, and now even later stages up to anywhere from Series A to Series C, and even beyond that through the Microsoft Ventures Fund. And the accelerators is definitely part of this funnel, and we see the fund as a great opportunity for relevant startups that we have to get funded through that, but also for other startups do not go through our accelerator program to get funded through the Microsoft Venture Fund and strategically align with things that are important for Microsoft.
So what types of technologies and new business models are you looking for opportunities in for the accelerator?
So our accelerator is actually fairly wide. We look for companies we believe could be really big and are using technology as their main growth engine. We did three vertical programs in the past. We did one around cybersecurity together with Akamai and JVP. We did one around medical or health together with Becton Dickinson and HealthBox. And we did one around domotics or connected home with American Family Insurance. Our Seattle accelerators has been focused on machine learning, and now their next cohort is going to be around machine learning as well as industrial IoT. But most of our accelerators are fairly wide. There are areas that we know that we usually don't deal with, for example, gaming. So games specifically are a hit or miss business. So usually it's a very hard business to be in, and it's hard to find the right startups to go and invest these efforts in. But this is just one example. But we're pretty wide. We want to make sure that there are startups that can use they need to use technology, that there are areas of interest for us, which are, as I said, pretty wide. So if you look at verticals that are interesting these days, you look at retail, you look at I think health is interesting, education is very interesting. There's certain verticals that are interesting to look at. But also if you look at the three main pillars that Microsoft is trying to bring innovation into, is the intelligence cloud, and definitely startups that would build on that intelligence cloud is a great thing. The future of productivity, and then the third thing is what we call the more personal computing, which is AR, VR, the way voice is integrated into different kind of applications. So as I said, it's a fairly wide canvas.
Yeah, that's a very good description, I think, of the matrix and how these things are crossing over now, different industries and different technologies, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, so in terms of people are so central to, you know, making accelerators, venture funds and collaborations work effectively. Can you describe some of the people within the accelerator and how you're linking into some of the core business?
So people, you mean staff?
Yeah, the staff and the people within your team and how you're making a more effective link into Microsoft and maybe your clients.
Yeah, so we have a blueprint that our accelerators are following, and
go ahead.
So each one of our accelerators has a minimum of 4 to 5 people on its staff. The two key people in the accelerators, basically the co-founders of accelerator, the people that run it, are what we call the CEO in residence, which is the managing director, which in most of the cases is a serial entrepreneur, someone that built companies before, raised funding, managed the board, managed investors, hired, fired, went through all the process. Then his partner in crime is what we call the CTO in residence, which is a very strong technical person, very well immersed into open source technology, understands cloud technology, and can help with all the technical side of the work. And then there are a couple more people, one person that deals with deal flow and alumni, another person deals with the operations of the program itself. There are a lot of moving parts in these programs. So this is the minimal blueprint, and then it goes beyond that, depends on the location and the size of the cohorts.
Okay, and how do they link into the to the core business of Microsoft, into some of these areas that you were saying, the particular technology areas or parts of the business?
Yeah, so they do it through multiple ways. One of them is we have a team, a global team of success managers. And these are in market people that are in markets, East Coast, West Coast, in Europe, in Asia, and they are doing two things or three things. One of them is taking a portion of our portfolio and connecting them to customers. We believe that the biggest value that an accelerator does for startups, and definitely a program like ours, which goes a little bit further in the stages of the startups, is business connections, is how you help them create a business. It's when you have business, funding will follow. When you have funding, yeah, not always you get the business side, right? So, so first of all, what they do is they connect to the business, sometimes through the Microsoft sales organization, which is a fairly big and effective sales organization across the world, and sometimes directly. The second thing they do is connecting them internally into Microsoft, so working with the different product teams, working with different engineering teams, finding the right connections into Microsoft. I'll give you a couple of examples in a minute. And then the third thing they do these industry days, or what we call CAP events, which is customer access program events, where we just did one in London around retail, where we brought a few of our corporate partners and customers, as well as startups from all over the world, to meet with them and offer their relevant solutions. So, you know, fintech, retail, you know, other verticals will do these industry days. So that's what the success management side of the house does. And you know, sometimes you find really interesting connections and really interesting opportunities. I'll give you one example. A company that graduated our accelerator in Seattle called OneBridge, that operates in the oil and gas industry, which is an industry that is important to us. But on the other hand, for our sellers, for example, it's been really hard to penetrate with our cloud technologies. So an opportunity to take into an account our, you know, a sales and gas industry account, oil and gas industry account, having our one of our salespeople walk in with a startup that leverages our cloud, our Azure cloud technology, and offers a great solution to that industry. It's win for everyone. It's win for the startup. Yeah. It's win for that specific seller. It's win for that account and for the customer. So we try to leverage many of those, which again are win for everyone in the that's engaged with that.
Good, good. Well, that brings me on to, you know, as you're saying, you need to connect these startups up with customers. Certainly what I've been seeing over the 15 years that I've been involved in corporate venturing, I'm seeing that the accelerator and venture models are now evolving from what was just investing in an interesting technology or startup and the next shiny piece of technology. So really the corporate's trying to get their heads around how joining up different technologies and joining up different startups is going to change the business model and fundamentally change some of the areas. So in health, for example, things are going to move hopefully to be about wellness and prevention rather than looking after sick people afterwards. And, you know, cars and mobility is not going to be just about the physical thing. It's going to be about utilization. It's going to be about efficiency and managing urban environments. So that's what I would term innovative new value chains, but how you connect different technologies. Are you seeing that, or how do you see that manifest in the Microsoft sort of scenarios?
Yeah, so absolutely. And we see these changes. We actually think that's part of the value proposition we provide to the company, and part of the value proposition that many of these programs provide to the largest corporates, is this ability to look at these new emerging business models and technologies. You know, the way we explain internally part of our biggest value to the company, you know, we get 10,000 applications a year from all over the world, startups. The program. We only accept 2% of those into our accelerators, but it gives us a very unique position. We have these 10,000 proprietary sets of signals that we analyze to learn about business trends, technology trends, market trends. And I'll give you an example where our president of our online division, online and office, has asked us to give him some information about a set of companies he was interested in. It was a bit over 10 companies he was interested in. We actually turned back a list of 260 companies with a pretty deep view in the AI space, with a pretty deep analysis of where we think they go, which interesting areas they're after, what can we learn, how can we cooperate with them. And what I think you see now in this new Microsoft, and if you follow Microsoft lately, and Satya has done a great job in changing this company completely. And you look at how we engage with startups, and if you look at the kind of companies we acquire lately, it's a very different story than in the past. You know, the one example I like giving is if you look at something like Accompli or Sunrise, right? Small companies that Microsoft decided to acquire, and they do an amazing job with email and calendar applications on iOS and Android. And if you wouldn't, 2 years ago, you couldn't have imagined our Outlook team acquiring a small email client company, because from their perspective, they're the people that invented email, right? They've been there forever. Yeah. They have the largest footprint in email clients, and suddenly you have this tiny little San Francisco company that does a really, really good job on the user experience on the mobile side. So this something that couldn't have happened a couple of years ago now makes sense, and we can do. So the company is changing, and it's changing in many forms. To your questions on new business models and new areas, it's something that we constantly approach the different teams inside Microsoft with things we see, and it could be in robotics, it could be in new markets. If you look at the offline to online, online to offline market, if you look at the sharing economy, there's lots of interesting things we see, and we surface them to the relevant teams at Microsoft. And I believe some of them will end up with great new businesses for us and great new connections with startups across the world.
No, that's a great example, and we're seeing that now is impacting lots of corporates and industries, and some industries, of course, are behind the curve in getting into seeing that. But you know, we know that software is going to eat the planet, as the sort of saying goes, and certainly we'll see new business models coming around. So Zach, in terms of how do you measure your financial and your strategic performance? You've talked about examples as you run through this. Do you have some more specific metrics, or how do you demonstrate those?
Yeah. So the way we've started this program, we wanted to make sure that we appeal to the best entrepreneurs out there. And we wanted to make sure that we do whatever we can to build the best value add program we could. And so the things we put in front of us is success matrix, like how many of a certain cohort gets funded. So what's the percentage of a cohort that gets funded? What's the average funding per cohort? Things like business traction, which is very hard to measure, but things that we definitely wanted to see, what's the business traction that our graduates get. So these are the main things we looked at from success of the programs. And as I've mentioned earlier, if you look at the rates, 81% of the companies being funded, average follow-on funding of $4.8 million, the number of exits and IPOs, they're very, very high, and it helped us really get to a situation where we can get the best startups out there to apply to the program. And of course, what helps us also, the fact that we provide a significant amount of allowance if they decide to use our platform, and also we take no equity. So this is the first set of things we measure to make sure we compete well in the market for the best entrepreneurs. The second portion is the health of the program. And this is where we check the net promoter score that the startups will give us after every cohort. So we have external companies serving the graduates on the program, on its content, on the mentors. It's a very mentor-heavy program. So we survey both the mentors and the startups on the value that created there. That's a set of health-related KPIs. The third one is more of a Microsoft internal measures and KPIs. And there we measure a few things. First of all, we do want to show significant uptake to the platform. So although the companies that come to the program do not have to use the Microsoft platform, we do want to show that we bring some of the best and brightest startups to the platform. So we show a percentage of a cohort that would pick up Azure as their cloud platform. We show the average use monthly usage that they would use. It's also a good proxy for us to see business traction with these startups. What we also we measure strategic engagements with internal teams. We measure the voice out in the industry that these startups will carry. So these are more our internal measures. We did not optimize the program to do either to be the center for Microsoft from an IRR perspective. We did not optimize the program to create acquisitions funnel for Microsoft. These are great when they happen, and they do happen, but they're not the focus of the program.
Okay, excellent. That was a very good overview of that, of the performance, the overall.
In every program, so in every program, you get what you optimize for and what you measure. We wanted to measure a program that creates great startups, and I think that's what we got.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. Thanks very much for that. So how do you manage to relax? What do you do with your time when you're not shooting all over the world between your locations and working with these exciting startups?
Yeah, so it's pretty addicting, I have to tell you. And meeting with startups all across the world and entrepreneurs it is fascinating. So I'm trying to go to most of our selection days and demo days, and these are two per location. So it gets a bit busy. But it's an amazing job. Next week I'm taking my so this week I'm going to our demo day in Berlin and in London, and then I'm speaking in Paris. But next week I'm taking my family scuba diving in the Red Sea, which is a great it's gonna be great fun. So trying to balance, not easy. We think of this team as we're a startup inside Microsoft, and as I think many startup founders will tell you, it's very hard to balance as much as they would want to balance their work-life situation. It's not easy, but it's as long as you do what you love and you love what you do, then it all works well.
No, perfect. No, so, no, I very much agree. I find myself working too much in that as well with that respect. But as you said, because you're working in such an interesting area, you love it. You got the passion for it. So Zach, thanks so much for your insight. I appreciate it.
Sure. You mean the one